Next presenter, Charles, will be presenting on edamame cultivar evaluation in central Alabama. Thanks, Charles.
All right. Okay, as he said, my name is Zach Ogles. I'm a PhD student at Auburn University in the Department of Crop Soils and Environmental Sciences. And the title of my presentation today is Edamame Cultivar Evaluation in Central Alabama. So just to begin, as we all know, edamame is the same genus and species as commodity soybeans. They've just been selected to have a larger bean, more generally higher sugar content, and just more palatable. Now, edamame is not a new thing. In fact, it was first mentioned in the 7th century B.C. in Chinese texts. For the United States, it was only introduced in the late 1850s, and with some larger seeded varieties introduced in the late 1800s. The first documented research that I could find on edamame production in the Southeast was at Auburn University, which was done in 1937. Now, at that point, edamame was not looked at as it is today as a specialty crop. It was looked at as a way to extend garden season on into September and possibly into early October. Over the last 10 years, edamame has increased in popularity significantly. It's seen increases between 10 and 15% each year. Now, of that increase, about 95% of our frozen edamame is imported from China, leaving only about 5% for our domestic market. Now, that's one reason that we feel that this research is important, is to increase the percentage of domestic production. Currently, we have roughly 2,000 hectares in production in the United States. Now, this number could go up or down slightly and has increased over the years. But just to meet our current demand, it would take roughly 10,000 hectares in production. Now, what we see is this is huge growth potential for growers and a big opportunity for people in Alabama. It's been shown that at times you can have edamame a hectare of edamame can yield 2 to 3 times the profit of conventional soybeans. Now, the previous research was done largely in the northern part of the United States. Now, as we know, edamame is a photoperiodic plant. So as you move south, say you take a group 2 or group 3 and you move south, it results in premature blooming and generally a stunted plant. Now, there has been some research done in the southeast, particularly Arkansas and Georgia and Mississippi have done some research, but very, very little in Alabama. So also harvest methods have been looked at. Hand harvesting is a cheap way to get into harvesting. However, it is very, very expensive in the long term because of the labor involved and the slow time frame of harvesting. Mechanical harvesting is what we're focusing more on, and the University of Kentucky has used green bean harvesters, and they have shown that you can get in excess of 80% harvest efficiency harvesting edamame. The third aspect of edamame research is in isoflavone content. Now, isoflavones are phenolic compounds that are produced in edamame and also in a few other legume crops. They've been shown in research to reduce your risk of cancer, lower cholesterol, and reduce your chance of heart disease. In addition to that, edamame is considered a complete protein, meaning that it has all the essential amino acids necessary in the human diet. In addition, it's high in antioxidants and has been marketed as a healthy snack alternative. So that brings us to the objective of our study, which is first to evaluate edamame cultivars for commercial production in central Alabama, and second, to determine the isoflavone content of beans produced by those varieties. Now, to do that, we first selected varieties based on several factors. 1, maturity group, and 2, the plant size, as well as previous research has been done on these and the fact that they are commercially available. Now, this first group that I've highlighted in red, those are our group 3s, which these are generally adapted to the northern part of the United States. Now, most of these varieties are larger seeded and generally produce a smaller plant, at least when you move them south into our area. Now, the second group is highlighted in blue. Those are our group 4s and 5s. Now, these are slightly smaller seeded, but generally produce a larger plant and higher yield. This last group is a group six, and that's adapted to the southeastern environment. Now, these generally produce smaller seed and have higher number of pod per plant. Now, once we've established the varieties, then we moved into field trials, which began in May of 2014 and continued on until September of 2015. The experiment was designed as a randomized complete block with four replications. There were edamame was seeded in double rows, 6 meters long, on 92 centimeter row spacing, and we used 150,000 seed per hectare. For those of you in commodity soybeans, you know, that's very, very low. However, some of the research that's done at the University of Arkansas has shown that between 50 and 80,000 seed per acre seem to be about the optimal rate. Once they reached the R6 stage of maturity, they were harvested. Now, the picture shows we used a weed eater mounted with a fixed blade, a circular saw blade, and they were cut down at ground level, bagged, and transported into a secondary area where they were further evaluated. Now, we counted each pod from the plant, so we got pod counts per plant, we got the number of 3, 2, and 1 bean pods per plant, and also we got the weight of 25 beans, and of course, the total yield. In addition, we also looked at plant growth characteristics. So in this case, we looked at plant height and the height of the first pod. And the reason we did that is because previous research has suggested that plant height adversely affects the harvest efficiency. So also, we looked at the isoflavone content. Now, to do this, the same 25 beans that we selected for weight, we also took and used those for the isoflavone analysis. Now, the way we did that is we freeze-dried the soybeans, and then we put them into a coffee grinder until they were very fine, and then we extracted them using methanol in preparation for analysis on the UPLC. All of the data that we generated was analyzed using proctglymics, and it was separated out by year. So the first data that I want to present to you today is yield data. So, of course, yield is important when you're talking about edamame. I wanted to point out first, the light blue bars are the 2014 data. As you can see, across the board, yields were higher in 2014. More specifically, the first five varieties were statistically the same. Now, we did have one variety on the end, referred to as B Sweet 2001, it was statistically lower in yield, and not just 2014, but 2015 as well. As you can see, the darker bars, they show the yield for 2015. Again, not a tremendous amount of variation. However, I would like to point out that Mojo Green is another variety that we looked at, and you can see the consistency between years in both 2014 and 2015, very, very consistent and virtually identical in yield. The next point that I want to show is bean size. Now, for commodity beans, it's not that big of an issue. However, for edamame, consumers prefer a larger bean, and so it's important. Again, the light blue bars show the bean size in 2014, which is significantly higher than it was in 2015. As you can see, the first four varieties have the same bean size, which is actually up over, slightly over a gram per bean, so it's very, very large. In 2015, we have reduced bean size across the board with one exception, and that is, again, in Mojo Green, which we found was very consistent also in bean size across the two-year study. Now, some of the varieties that we just mentioned, they were some of the ones that we felt like had good promise. As I said, for time purposes, we can't go through all 11 varieties that we looked at. But those, the first varieties we looked at were some that we thought were showed promise. Now, we had to eliminate a few varieties based on several different characteristics. First, I want to mention Mooncake and Butterbean. Both of these are fine varieties. However, they don't fit into the commercial model. And that is because you can see Mooncake average height was 155 centimeters. So you're talking about a soybean that's almost eye level. Now, for a home gardener, that would be perfectly fine, but for harvesting using a green bean harvester, you would run into some serious problems. Butter bean is not a very tall variety. However, it tends to grow across more like a vine than it does as an upright plant. Now, these Lanco and B-Sweet 2001, both of those generally make pretty large beans. However, as you can see, they have very low percentage of three-bean pods, with 9 and 5% respectively. And as you might assume, if it has a very low amount of three-bean pods, it probably has a very high percentage of one-bean pods or other pods. And that's what we found, was that in the case of those two varieties, they had almost 35 and 29% one and zero bean pods. And for grade A edamame, the standard generally is 90% is three and two bean pods, with less than 10% being one or other. And so for that reason, we could eliminate those. Just to touch on the isoflavone part of the research, so far what we have gotten is we have developed a method on the UPLC to differentiate the three isoflavone compounds that we are interested in. The datezine, the glycine, and the genistein are all clearly, are very easily separated using the UPLC method. However, right now we have only began the analysis part, so we are, the next 2 to 3 weeks, we should finish this part of the research and be able to have some more definitive data. So just in summary, if a grower came to me and said, I want to grow edamame commercially, which varieties would you suggest? And based on the research that we've done over the last 2 years, Mojo Green, Midori Giant, Sayamusume, and Chiba Green are all varieties that we feel like have a reasonably good chance to fit into the commercial production model. The reason for this is because of growth characteristics. They make not terribly large plants. They grow upright. They make relatively high yields, and they also produce relatively large beans. In the future, what I would like to see is for our area of the area that we plant these to expand. I'd like to go into South Georgia and also into the panhandle of Florida to give these varieties a little bit more diverse environment to be exposed to. In addition to that, mechanical harvesting of these specific varieties is something that we need to explore. And this is something that we plan to do later on next season. So just in closing, I would like to thank my two co-advisors, Dr. Elizabeth Gertal and Dr. David Weaver, for all their support throughout the project, and also everyone in Dr. Gertal's lab for all their support. With that, I'll take any questions.
Question for Zach?
Yeah, Zach. I don't know much about edamame. How do you calculate yield? Do you have a dry matter base that you use, or do you have a target moisture, or
So the question is, how do we calculate yields? And the way that we did that is that we marked off the central part of the two-row plots, and we harvested all the green pods from that, and we took total weight. For the edamame, we're harvesting at the R6 stage, so we're weighing the bean as well as the pod to get total yield. So the question is where did we get the maturity group information? And much of the maturity group information was provided by the seed supplier themselves.
One more quick question.
Yes, sir. On your seed size, then, is that an individual bean or pod?
Yes. So the question is for my bean size, are we talking about specific bean size, or are we talking about bean and pod? To answer the question, it's a weight of 25 beans, but it is the bean alone, not the bean with the pod.
Great. Thanks, Zach.
All right. Thank you.